the beautiful thing about life as well is that there's these paradoxes, right? There's these inherent paradoxes that make up the fabric of this reality, right? Things that don't make sense scientifically, things that don't make sense when viewing life through the lens of the material. I'll give you an example, the law of abundance, right? The less you desire, the more you have. The more things come your way. This is an inexplicable law, not one that can be tested and repeated and put in a lab, right? This is something that people who have lived this way can tell you to be true. And people who have not lived this way will tell you adamantly that it is impossible. And it is that exact example that proves this law to be true. It is belief. It is collective belief. You can believe something, but if the people around you don't also believe the same thing, it becomes harder to maintain that belief system. That's why I always say it's so important to be around people that are like-minded. Not like-minded in the sense that they think the exact same things as you, that they say yes to everything that you say, that you live in an echo chamber. That is actually very, very, a very bad situation to be in, because there's no growth there. There's no self-awareness. There's no reflection. I mean like-minded people in the sense that people that strive for more. If you strive for more and you're self-aware, and you have goals and ambition, and you kind of understand that this world is immaterial in essence, but material by nature. If you're around those type of people, you'll naturally just evolve and grow and strive towards corners of this existence that's, and aspects of the spectrum of life that other people just can't comprehend because they don't know that it exists. And that's another concept to sort of take in as well, right? There are areas of life that you are just unaware of, that you don't know exists because you have not even tapped into that part of the spectrum yet. There are concepts that if were told to you, you would not believe to be true, and yet are true for certain people because that is their reality that they have experienced. And I find that fascinating because when I said before that human beings are limitless, we're infinite beings, this is what I mean. There's concepts and realities that we're unaware of that exist on the same timeline that we're traversing, that we're going down, that could change the way that we look at the life that we live forever. And how do we experience those things? By experiencing different people. Experiences are usually through people, right? And collective knowledge, shared knowledge, is a powerful thing that has now sort of been disrupted. You know, if you look at all traditional cultures, stories were passed down through generations by the elders, more often than not. Each story and tradition generally having a moral or message behind it. But now the family culture and unit has sort of been disbanded. It's been broken up. Children are no longer raised by their parents. There's no family dinners. There's no sense of community. It's every man for themselves in this capitalist, materialist world. You know, if someone's making money, that's money that you could be making that you're not making because they're making it. It's a very selfish world. Everyone's thinking for themselves, not understanding that in giving, you are receiving. Again, another immaterial, paradoxical concept that takes a lot of faith to enact and implement into your own life. But this is what I love about life, is that there's all of these interesting intricacies, right, that you don't have to get too caught up in. These are not traps. These are merely observations that you don't have to spend too much time in, because you can just you can take them in and then you can go live your life. And the more you live your life in your subconscious, these intricacies become more well thought out. Right, you don't actually have to put active thought into it. These aren't distractions like something else might be, you know. This is what I also mean by when I say live life as a meditation, because living life as a meditation means that you're carrying on through the flow of life without any intention of direction. You can have goals, you can have ambitions, but there is no forced direction that you're, you know, trying to forge out of this seemingly moldable walk of life, right? But rather, every obstacle and decision that comes your way, just like when you're meditating, every distracting thought that passes by your mind, you know, where would you be if you were to latch onto each one, to become enslaved by the energy that each one demands out of you, by the attention that it demands? Where would you be? You know, you wouldn't be able to sit alone in stillness. You wouldn't ascend, you know, on a mental and spiritual level through meditation if you were enslaved to the very bare minimum of distraction that is the thoughts that you have that you don't even realize you have because you don't spend enough time alone. You don't even spend enough time alone to realize that meditation is nothing special. You know, being bombarded by thoughts is nothing special. You're just so used to being distracted, right? That's why I say boredom is a beautiful thing as well, because when you're bored, that's when you're able to be creative. But it's boredom with intention. If you have nothing to distract you, all of a sudden the inner resources come pouring out. You know, you realize how abundant you are as a human being. You realize how much potential you had within. You don't need anything outside of you. You don't need it. You don't actually, everything is an illusion. Everything is an illusion that is outside of your being. And like, trust me, I'm self-aware enough to understand that the words that I'm saying, the way I'm phrasing them is a very, it can be misconstrued with these very woo-woo, spiritual, people and the things that they say, and I'm not demeaning them in any regard. I actually quite enjoy, you know, those discussions that tend to be quite out there. But I feel like these concepts that I'm describing, well, I know for a fact that these concepts I'm describing, I've experienced in my own life, which is the only reason I'm talking about them. I'm not talking about concepts that I haven't myself implemented to some degree and experienced the results of.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a step forward. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the thing is, who's God and what is God, right? A lot of people have different ideas about that, and that's where the complications come in.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, I think you can only quantify so much. Like, it's the same thing. You can only ask so many questions before you get to that same paradox, right? But I think there are differences in how people see the world in terms of, like, I guess maybe if you don't want to call it religion in that concrete sense, but people, like, even like what you were talking about earlier, like vibrations, like people don't believe in that kind of thing. Like, they don't even like accept them as real.
But I mean, even scientifically now, it's been proven that it's real. Like, really? Atoms are vibrating at a certain frequency that determines the density of the object, right? Mm-hmm. And 99% of the atom is empty space. You know, nothing like this. Even when you're on shrooms or psychedelics, all of a sudden the world changes, right? Mm-hmm. And for all intents and purposes, during that time, that is the world, right? It isn't like how you normally see it. Hmm. It is. So the world is very malleable. The world is very subject to change. Hmm. So that's why I believe that, well, not that I feel it, but the energy that you're around and that becomes the energy that you are, the energy that you think, and whatever you think becomes the world that you exist in, right? Because you are your world. You are your world. You don't know how anyone else is existing. You can't explain anyone else's existence except for yours. Hmm. And you're the only existence that matters to you. Really. Like, if you break it down.
You know Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
One of the things he said on Joe Rogan, like, Joe asked him if he would ever do psychedelics or if he's ever done them. And he said no. So I asked him why. And he said, well, the reason I would never do them is because the human brain barely works in terms of its... the way it uses its tools to understand and perceive reality, the way that the tools and the neurochemistry is put together, it's such a delicate system and it's so fragile that it breaks so easily that to toy with that is like just dangerous. And like, that's from the perspective of like probably the most scientific person you could pull out of, but like, what is your perspective on that? Like, you said it's malleable, but is it malleable? Is it fragile? I mean, is it like, he didn't want to risk anything possibly affecting his perception on reality because he fundamentally believed that everything he saw was everything that there was.
Right, right.
And he didn't want to compromise that.
Yeah, I mean, that's his perspective. Like, I don't think there's one way of... I think this is where you get into arguments with people over, like, unnecessary things when you have a fundamentalist view about anything. You know, when you believe something is one way or nothing, that's a very binary way of looking at life. And I think life, while it has its binaries, when you dive deep into them, is inherently complex and becomes so much more nuanced than a simple separation between, you know, black and white. So whether or not his reality is the only reality is obviously up for question, but is him taking psychedelics changing his fundamental reality? I don't know. Like, that's for me, when I take psychedelics, I feel like my reality hasn't changed, only expanded.
And I feel like there's value in expansion. Mm-hmm. So that's where I see the benefit in taking them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. At least once. Well, yeah, one of the things my friend says, like, about what shrooms are is like, it really just lets your imagination run wild for a couple hours. I mean, it's like, it's so crazy because it's obviously it's an external factor, but it's all in your head. I mean, it's like, it's like you said, it expands. It's all already there. It's just been tapped into. So it's like,
cause like, what changed? Did the thing change or did your perception of the thing change when you're on shrooms? Like when you see the trees breathing, is the tree breathing or are you seeing the tree? Cause like, how do you actually know? Cause in one version of reality where you're sober, the tree's not breathing. But in the other version of reality, if you take a few different elements, the tree is breathing. Hmm. But how do you know the state you're in is a state that's not affected by some compound as well? Maybe when you're maybe breathing, or I don't know, maybe like eating food alters your state of consciousness, just like drugs and alcohol would as well. Cause I find my state of consciousness is different whether or not I'm fasting or have eaten food or what type of food I'm eating.
Really?
Yeah. So it's almost like to a very lesser degree. My ability to concentrate, focus, and I know a lot of it has to do with the gut and the health of your gut. But they're all chemical. They're all chemical changes. One's just in your gut, one's in your brain. And they call your gut the second brain for a reason, because it controls all of your, it controls your mood, it controls your emotions. A lot of the times the functions of what we believe to happen in the brain happen in the gut first. And that's why the food that you eat is so important, because it does affect you. So maybe it does alter things in ever so slightly. Like maybe if your gut is in poor health, you subconsciously see the world grayer. Whereas when you're on psychedelics, or you see the world very like vibrant. So maybe if you're fasting, you're eating more high vibrational food, like not super processed and dense, you see the world brighter, right? Like subconsciously.
When you say something like, is the tree really breathing, or is it just in your state of when you're sober that the tree's, you know, still, or it's not moving? It's like, doesn't matter which one is necessarily real or not real. I mean, even if you can use that word around it, but it's like, if the world as you see around you operates in terms of your economy and your relationships with people in sort of a sober world, if we can call it that. Like, I think most people use that as a baseline just because everyone uses it.
Right, exactly. That's what I was getting at. Yeah, the baseline.
Baseline. So it's like, is that even the maximum capacity of expansion?
Right.
Something like shrooms.
Right, no. I agree. But I don't think it's the maximum capacity of expansion. Really? I think it is an expansion. Mm-hmm. But I think the internalization that an expansion even exists beyond the baseline sober state is an important factor in the development of your thoughts and ideas. That's how I see it. I don't think it's the expansion. I would not doubt that there are different ways to tap into different levels of reality and consciousness, but I think limiting yourself to the baseline also therein limits your like imaginative expansion. Or
do you think there's like other levels to expansions, or is it even linear in that sense? I mean, is there other ways to expand your mind?
I feel like meditation for sure. Like I've heard, I haven't myself experienced those stages, but I hear from people, cause a big part of the path that I mentioned earlier that my parents are on is meditation. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is to, you know, when you meditate for a certain amount of time with the techniques that they teach, you see like inner light and you hear inner sound. And like, I don't think that they're lying, because there's a lot of people on their path where there's regular people who have no reason to lie, talk, have conversation and discuss like what they see and experience. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there are different realms of consciousness that you can tap into by sort of having these outer body experiences through meditation. And that's ultimately the goal, is to have these outer body experiences through the technique of meditation that they teach.
What have you experienced through meditation?
I haven't gone there yet. It takes a lot of practice. Like these are people who have been on the path practicing meditation for like 30, 40 years.
But I mean, you've always been, not 30 years, but you've meditated and you've probably gotten to a point where you at least see some benefit in it, because otherwise you wouldn't have continued it.
I see physical benefit in it.
Like what?
But not so much the metaphysical benefit that, you know, for example, they would.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So what do you see in physical benefit? Like
the ability to have self-awareness in terms of the seemingly reactionary habits that human beings have in terms of emotionally how I'm feeling. Like I'm sorry, it's been really helpful in reflecting on why am I feeling this way? You know, how do I want to feel? The thoughts that I have, are these my thoughts? Or are they, do I associate with them? You know, like mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff. And then that helps me live a life that's more in control, if or at least feels like in control. But you meditate as well, right?
I've been trying more. I mean, recently, I definitely do start, I'm starting to see the benefits in it. Like the same mm-hmm. things you were saying, like for me, it's been more of a thought experiment, which is more has to do with understanding the way that thoughts work. I think I mentioned this earlier, but just really taking the time to realize how certain thoughts come into your mind and you don't necessarily dwell on all of them and you forget some of them and some of them you linger on right away. And just the way that they enter your mind and leave and just that whole process. I mean, just taking the time to identify that like for 15 minutes at a time, I feel like that's been huge. Because then on a day-to-day, you have a random thought. It's not just like a passive subconscious experience. It's like you understand what's happening because you've identified it so clearly. So it's like I've seen the value there. I mean, I have no doubt that you can get better at it and that it has way higher capacity of benefit than anything I've experienced. But I think it's something definitely worth doing. And
Well, I think what you said about... Or I don't know if you said this exactly, but this is what I understood. Having thoughts without any external source of stimulation. Because like a lot of the times I feel like I'll go through life and I have thoughts, but they're coming from events that I'm experiencing as I go through life. You know, mm-hmm. maybe whatever it may be. But when you're sitting down in silence with your eyes closed, there's no external source of stimulation to provoke these thoughts. Mm. And then you start to, well, I would feel like you start to naturally ask a question. Where do these thoughts come from? Right. And how do I deal with them? How do I reactionarily deal with them? I don't even know if that's a word. And then you started to understand more about yourself because this is probably the first time in a long time that you've actually just been with yourself. And I think if there's anything to take away from meditation, it's that it allows for you allows for you to create time in your schedule to just be truly bored. And boredom is something that is extremely rare nowadays because there's always a source of stimulation. Always. You know, with phones is just the easiest example. You know, food even. There's no boredom when it comes to food. You always have with Uber Eats, you have the selection of whatever the fuck you want to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And even with the chemicals that they put into food nowadays, it's curated for us to become addicted and to always crave.
Everything is. Yeah, absolutely.
Everything about this reality is a means by which we can become more addicted. Yeah. Which I find interesting. And I also like to ask the question, why? Like, why is that the case, right? Like, to what end? Is it purely coincidental or is there something else going on? I don't know.
I think it's through the evolution and the development of man. I mean, I think on paper, the goal is to increase the level of comfortability and safety and enjoyment in everyday life, you know, because there's things that we can all agree are mundane and there's things we can all agree are pleasurable and things that we can all agree are enjoy. But obviously it's a generalization, but the whole idea is to minimize the things that we don't want to do and maximize the things that we want to do. But in that, we're also not fully understanding the concept of our neurochemistry and how tweaking that system and abusing it and hyperstimulating it has these huge, huge implications on the rest of your life. Mm. I mean, these implications that were in place from tens of thousands of years ago aren't meant to be stimulated the way they are now. It's the same thing with pornography. It's like why so many guys struggle with it is because we're not meant to have to fight that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point.
You know, like we're not meant to have to sit down and try to resist that feeling. It's like, it's meant to be all consuming the same way that if it's been 2 days without water, it's like you're going to die without it. You know, like those same understandings. If you ever want to know what it's like to have to try to quit an addiction, it's that same feeling. It's like your body is telling you that you need to drink water. And it's like, how are you ever going to resist that feeling? And it's like, that whole idea of you need to have something better, some visualization of something better and some visualization of something worse. Mm.
So true. We were meant to be battling pornography addictions.
No, not at all. I mean, yeah. That's why so many people are struggling with it.
And probably the same thing with these very easily accessible drugs now. Like even weed, man. Even weed. Because like, at the end of the day, it's a crutch, right? With which you can use to escape reality. Mm. And I think back to meditation, why it's so important is because this is the one time where you truly face reality. Because you do you and your thoughts. What is reality? It's a product of your thoughts. And
there's no escaping it.
Yeah. It isn't. That's why I think it's so powerful. And it's so difficult to do. Like, even though I can talk about it, I still struggle to, you know, let's say before bed or right when I wake up, to find the discipline in me, because the benefits are so immaterial. They're so not tangible. Mm-hmm.
So not immediate either.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where the trap of instant gratification comes in, because once you train your mind to only value results from sources that can provide this instant feeling of gratification, you start to lose touch with practices like even reading a book, right? That's why I asked you earlier why you started reading, because it's very rare to hear someone who, out of general curiosity, took the discipline to actually read a book. Because now you can just listen to podcasts, watch videos, read summaries. Like, you don't have to sit through and read a book. But I think the value is also forgotten.
Absolutely.
Just like in meditation.
Yeah.
Well, I pulled this up here because I wanted to... I know, sorry if I interrupted you, what to say something, but the definition of meditation, because I feel like it's such a broad term that people can just use for many different things, mm-hmm. which I think is valid, but reading the definition is always helpful. It says meditation is a practice in which an individual uses a technique such as mindfulness or focusing the mind on a particular object, thought, or activity to train attention and awareness and achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm and stable state. Wow. That's interesting, though. I never actually read the definition of meditation. No, I've never actually read it.
Yeah, I feel like that summarizes it very well.
Yeah, it does.
It's all about clarity.
Yeah.
Right, because there's no avoiding anything when it's just you and your thoughts, you know. It's like,
yeah.
One of the times when people face the biggest challenges in their life is when they're forced to be alone.
Mm.
You know, so many people grow up in their household, go to school with their friends, go to university or in dorms, and then move out with their friends. It's like, so many of my friends have asked me, it's like, do you get lonely living alone? Or like, what's it like living alone? Like, oh, I'm thinking of kicking out my roommate. I'm terrified of being alone. Like all this stuff. And it's like, it's a genuine problem. And for me, I think for a while.
Thinking of kicking my roommate?
Oh, yeah. Shit's been going. Like, no, I mean, that whole idea is, it's like, it one, forces you to face yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And two, forces you to make an effort for those same things that you took for granted.
Yes. Yo, that's huge.
Yeah.
Makes you put an effort into the things you took for granted. Because you can get them with heavy quotations, because it's not this, I don't think it's the same end result or the same product, but you can get them easier. Like, you can get that sense of calmness easier, but it's almost like eating candy for energy versus like a healthy, like, complex carb meal that you have to make yourself.
Absolutely. It's like the roosters still come home to roost, right? Like, at the end of the day, you're still gonna have those negatives and those consequences that, even if they're delayed, you can delay them
100%.
As long as you want, but it always comes back around.
Okay. Yeah, but you technically still do get the energy.
Yeah, of course.
But like you just said, the same delayed way. Onset results are always gonna be there.
No, I mean, in the past year, I mean, it's been a real challenge. It's like, I really have to force myself to get out of the house. And sometimes, even when I don't want to, it's like, go and see people and like talk to people and like go make friends. I mean, moving to a new city and stuff like that. But I'm so, so much more comfortable with being alone. And I think that there is like a negative side to that, of course, as there is with most things, where you can become addicted to being alone. That's when people become really, really lonely. It's because it's so much easier eventually. Yeah. Once you become comfortable enough in that state, it's like, it's, you don't even want to test it, because other people are chaos. Other people are the unknown. You're the one you can control. Right.
Especially now, I'm thinking, like, I feel like that's only an issue in this day and age because of the stimulation that we have and have access to when we are alone. Right? Like, think back to before technology. In order to get some sort of stimulation or some sort of excitement, you would have to be around other people. There's no way you could have done it alone.
Exactly. Right? You just have to go to the shitty party, you know, like there's no, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you were alone, you were truly alone and you wouldn't be able to escape as easily, which I think has its benefits. That's why I think society is struggling so much. And especially people, I see people in my generation, you know, our generation, just so like lost and
people are just struggling.
Yeah.
Just,
not saying that I'm found, but right. But just, I don't know.
Loss is a good way to put it. I feel like people just don't know what to do.
Mm.
Or even if they do know what to do, they just have this constant feeling of like just despair, and it's always there. And sometimes it's quieter, sometimes it's louder, but it never really goes away. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many people there are who've had that feeling go away before, you know, I mean, I think people are just becoming more comfortable with living with it and
mm-hmm.
looking just for the next moment where they can quiet it out.
So. Mm-hmm.
Did you still touch the hot wax?
Yeah.
How was it?
No, it's not even hot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You should touch that. It's going to be hot.
Oh, man. No, such an important conversation to have. And I think it's one people are kind of afraid to have, but it's so much easier to just keep running and then face like the reality of the situation.
And we had a really amazing meeting that got really, really deep, very spiritual, very about energy and manifestation. And he's older than me, and he's got a lot more experience with this, and just giving me examples after example after example of how this stuff is real. Like, it is so real, and this is what life boils down to. It's energy. Everything is energetic. We're electrical beings. You know, the mechanisms in our body are electrical. We require elements like zinc, copper, magnesium, because we have electrical currents. Electrical currents are energy. Energy is affected by energy. So it's just like this, this beautiful cycle that for some reason most of us are unaware of.
Man, you hit the spot with that one. And it's like, how can we manipulate, how can we control the energy around us to make the best environment for us?
There you go.
Now, a challenging question. What is the best environment for us besides being alone?
Right. No, 100%. And like I said, I think the best environment, like, it starts with the self. It starts with me. Like, if I want the right environment, I'm going to create the right environment, because everything is malleable. This environment is a figment of our imagination. Right? Like, ultimately, the environment doesn't exist other than the fact that we've molded it as such. We've labeled this environment as this environment. But without that label, it's really just like free-floating energy. That's why I don't like labels. Because I think as soon as you label something, it becomes that and leaves no more room for exploration. So I think maybe we should collectively not label this environment and instead proactively create the environment that we feel intuitively suits us best.
Yeah.
So for example, you know, that's a lot of like big words, but just like in a practical example, let's just meditate after this. You know, actually another one, doing this podcast, this is something that I feel is in alignment with what I want to be impacting the world, or how I want to be impacting the world. And this is the medium that I feel strongly calls to me. And so I just did it, right? I'm just doing it. We're just podcasting. There's no proper setup. There's no nice lighting. There's no like fancy mics. Just doing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm creating that environment. That's my intention with this, you know? And so after this, I want to meditate, because I know deep down inside that that is what I was meant to do. And having someone like you who also craves that same alignment, that same sense of like deep fulfillment that they know is possible, but like it just takes a little bit of discipline to reach, really helps. Really helps having someone like you, because I myself am not the most disciplined person, although I understand that discipline is the way to become the person I want to be. Yeah.
Shoot, no, those are very accurate points. Like, we haven't talked about this before, but I'm literally on the same page of what you're saying. It's like that discipline is hard to like acquire.
Mm.
Especially in a 3-person group.
Yeah.
And now having someone who's on the same journey as me, like that person telling me, yo, like, come on, let's do this. and it reminds you, okay, yo, I am on this journey. I can't let this or that distract me, you know. No, very good point. Self-discipline, super important, but having that team around you, it adds to it. But it obviously all starts right here by yourself. Yeah, man, like, I'm just digging at you now. Like, I'm curious about, like,
No.
What's going on in your mind, like.
But, I mean, to bring it back to a little bit more of, like, a materialistic sense, because obviously we do live in the material world and we have to adhere to the material laws. Like, money is a thing, right? Influence is a thing. Power is a thing. As much as I wish they weren't, if we're going to continue to move forward and have ambition in this world, in this space, we do need to survive.
We do. And, that's interesting. You know, we do need to survive here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if our beliefs, our scarce mindset, is allowing us to think we need that to survive?
Yeah,
yeah, we
really
do need
that
to survive.
Yeah.
And, like...
dude, you fucking slammed on. Yo, I love it, bro.
Yo, and it's like... man, it's... Okay, look.
Yeah.
We recently had a conversation about, yo, we need to make money. We need to start earning X amount of money.
Yeah.
Derek brought up the idea, and it just kind of like reeled into our heads, like, yo, we need to find a way to make money ASAP.
Yeah.
And now we're in this state of like scarcity.
Yes.
Where we're all like putting out scarcity energy.
100%.
And like, yo, we need this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We need this to happen. We need this and that and this to align. And we're lacking that already.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need these objects, these variables to come into place for us. But putting ourselves in that mindset of like scarcity is a sign of misalignment of first person journey.
You know what's really interesting about that? You mentioned lacking.
Yeah.
Right? Lacking is an interesting word because I think, you know how, you know when you're driving down the street and you're thinking about a certain type of car and all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. It's that classic example of your mind creates the reality that you want to see.
Yeah.
Right? Even like, maybe it always existed. Maybe you're actually creating the reality. Who knows? Doesn't matter. All that matters is your attention goes where energy flows, or the other way around.
Where energy goes,
and where
attention. Focus goes, energy flows.
Let's
there we go.
Go.
Tony Robbins, man. Thank you.
What a legend. He's actually such a dope.
Yeah, and like
what a guy.
Yo, and on that point, like I think we need to, if we focus on aligning our energies properly on a spiritual level.
Yeah.
I promise you, the scarcity mindset, we are going to force it out.
Yes.
And we're going to acquire an abundant mindset. This project will suddenly start flowing like pure, clean water.
I think that's what's missing. I personally, I don't know if you feel this, but I feel like all the meetings, all the brainstorming is kind of like hitting a brick wall. It's like hitting a brick wall and then we're like, oh, this is not the pathway. Let's move a little bit right. And oh, guess what? It's still a brick wall, right? There's something missing. We need to be able to take a step back and realize, oh, there's a ladder over there. We can just climb over the wall.
Exactly.
So, you know, maybe that analogy wasn't the best for our situation, but I think having a foundation of abundance, which goes hand in hand with spirituality, because in essence, spirituality is abundance. Right, it's the idea that you are an abundant energetic being and everything is energy, therefore you have access to everything, therefore you are infinitely abundant.
No, literally. And like, I think us not making enough time to meditate, us not making enough time to connect with ourselves puts us in this spot of like, yo, chase,
bro. And it's because the world we live in does not value meditation as a direct, you know, like as direct transaction. You know, in the business world, people are like, okay, I'll give you this if you give me this.
Yeah.
So subconsciously, I feel like we're kind of trained throughout school to sort of, and sort of throughout life as well, dealing with people, be like, if I do X, I expect Y. If I work out, my muscles will get stronger and bigger. If I meditate, what's going to happen? Like, there's no definitive outcome, right? So therefore, we kind of put it to the side. We're like, yeah, it's something we should do.
Yeah.
But I don't see a definitive outcome that makes me be like, yo, I need to do this. Like, everyone should be like, I need to meditate, and then I need to eat. Like, meditation should be first, because through meditation comes clarity of every other action taking in your life.
And the level of focus you get.
Yes.
Just insane.
You feel powerful,
yeah.
Bro.
Yo, like, it's like you're unlocking another way of, like, seeing life.
How do you meditate?
Interesting question. I actually have multiple ways of meditation.
That's it.
I'll describe, like, two main ones that I love doing.
Mm-hmm.
One is having a frequency sound on. So my favorite is either the 888, which is abundance and wealth frequency playing, or the 528, which is the golden frequency for like vibration, raising the vibration. And I play these frequencies on my TV or on a speaker. I sit in front of it cross-legged, and I'll have a candle right in front of me. The purpose of the candle is its energy is fire. It's burning at the same time. And for me, whenever I do that kind of meditation, I try my best. Every string that is struck or struck on the violin or on the bass, I focus on exactly that. Push my thoughts aside, and I can picture the string going up and down in my head, and literally living with the sound, moving with the frequencies. That changes my mind, and at the same time I focus the energies that I do not want in my body towards the flame. And I can literally, like, this is gonna sound crazy, I've noticed the flame like move, like there's a wind coming towards it through like just energy. And with that kind of meditation, I'm really able to like just really focus on vibration frequencies and focus on getting my like negative energies out of my body and burning it off into the fire. That's one major way I love meditating. It's one of my favorite ones. Shoot, what was my second one?
Is it prayer?
I don't pray a lot, but prayer is one. It's meditation with sound, obviously. Like you have a sound coming in that like kind of allows you to focus on that sound, and like you block out your thoughts. What's the second way of meditation that I love doing?
Well, I have a few notes. Of that I didn't want to forget because you said some really good things there. First of all, I noticed you said that it may sound crazy. When you said the flame was moving because of the energy. Do you recognize when you say stuff like that that it might be preventing you from unlocking the next level?
Because I'm like telling myself, yo, like this isn't real. That's a very good point. The energy I'm putting out is the energy that I'm getting back.
But it was so subconscious, you didn't even notice. I didn't even notice until I was like, oh, hold on a second. Only because I'm being like super overly analytical because we're on a podcast. Which, by the way, for any athletes watching this, you might be wondering, how does this apply to being an athlete? And we talked about meditation as being the foundation for everything, even before eating and drinking. So how could it not apply to being an athlete? Is all I'm going to ask you. That's why it's called the holistic athlete, because we take everything under the umbrellas of mental, physical, and spiritual, put them in balance, and through that balance you will find success in whatever area.
You're moving every fiber of your body in alignment.
There you go.
Like everything's moving with a purpose rather than you're pushing that muscle to move.
I might have to steal Daniel as a co-host, an official co-host of the podcast. You were a guest today, but you might have just got upgraded halfway through.
We will see. We will see what happens.
Okay, so another note that I have down is you said push your thoughts. So you said you listen to the note and you feel the frequency, kind of like, if so you like observe it, but you push your thoughts away. My question to you is, like, the act of pushing your thoughts away, I feel like personally brings more thoughts. Like when I try to force something, when I try to force the thoughts away, more thoughts come in. But rather, if I just observe them and let them go, eventually they start to die out. So what is your take on like the best way to approach that?
Interesting. That's a good point. In meditation, when you focus on a thought, more thoughts come. For me, it's one thing I also miss in my, while I was explaining that, I do a home. I literally vibrate with the sound. So if I have a nice like frequency coming in up and down, I'll literally be like, And I'll be doing that with the exact.
Literally, as soon as you do that, goosebumps.
And you do that, you vibrate your vocal cords on a deep level, and you allow the frequency to come in. And whenever a thought comes in, yes, I know, okay, I need to push it away. But I'm more like, go back to the sound. I start like kind of like moving back and forth. I'm vibrating with the music, and now like I'm really in tune with the vibration.
So it almost sounds like a practice in attention. So you're not putting your attention, you're not giving the thoughts power by putting your attention to them. You're remaining focused on the frequency that you're producing.
Exactly, and vibration is like a very, or frequencies are a very good way to like channel your focus, you know, because they actually have an effect on your mind.
Dude, I wonder what would happen if more athletes started practicing like meditation regularly instead of, and like to this level, like producing that vibration, that ohm, right? Like, I wonder how that would translate on the field. I wonder if more people would be, like, in flow state.
Dude, that's another thing. Like, doing this kind of meditation or even any meditation and to practicing over and over again allows you to get into a mindset of, like, everything's off, thoughts away, I'm alive, I'm present, and boom, just go at it. You can literally, something happens, you slow it every time down and analyze the situation. And on the pitch, like, you become a monster. You're in flow state. I think that's super beneficial for any athlete.
When I say separate yourself from the mind, what comes to mind?
First thing I think of, like, is coming into reality, being present.
Mm.
Like, literally, it's like you unplug, like, USB, like a cord, and you're just like, I'm here. And it's like, that's what I think of.
So, taking that, the reverse of that, so the mind essentially would be what takes you away from the present.
Yes.
Okay.
Brain wants to think, brain wants to put you in a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Brain wants to consistently push thoughts towards you because it wants you to maybe not think of something.
Mm-hmm.
So it wants you to maybe think of a thing that you want a lot or something that makes you feel good a lot. The mind is a very powerful tool if it's well controlled.
You said brain and mind. Are they two different things or are they the same thing? Because I obviously believe that there's the brain, which is the physical thing that you can see in your skull. Then there's the mind. And then we have the subconscious. And then so we have the subconscious mind and then the conscious mind.
Yeah.
And then we have the ego, which I believe is a completely separate entity. And the counterpart to that would be the soul.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's multiple different layers to like the human experience.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's deep. It's deep.
Yeah. You know, we talked about yin and yang the other day.
Yeah.
I feel like ego and soul are yin and yang. But you cannot exist in this world without the other half. You can't exist without the ego.
Yeah.
You know, ego is necessary for human existence. But once you move on, I believe there's different planes and levels of consciousness. And like at the very top is essentially like where the creator energy lies. Like that's God, whatever term you want to use. I love like that is that so like for example we're on the material plane, so there's like a certain level of density, and then above that is like the astral region, which is like a slightly less dense region, but that's where like the like spirits and ghosts are live, right? And that's where you can like kind of sometimes tap into them and see them, or sometimes you see something you're not quite sure, because it is overlapping ours. But we're at a lower density, so we can't see them. And then above that is an even higher density, and a higher density until you get to pure light and sound, which is like the ocean of light. Like, that's God to me. Like, that is home, right?
Yeah.
And I see this life as nothing more than a test of your soul. I believe your soul gets reincarnated over and over and over again and carries with it lessons and memories that you don't quite recognize the lessons and memories from the previous existences.
I think that's actually very possible. Ever had a deja vu?
There you go.
And it's like, sometimes it's like, yeah, oh man, this comes
dreams, bro. What
so
are dreams?
Ways. Yeah.
What are dreams, dog?
It's,
what
it's
are
a,
dreams, bro?
It's a parallel universe, like, that's what comes to my mind.
Yes,
like,
man.
Or it's a universe that's gonna happen, or something that's already happening on the other side.
There you go. Or something that's happened in a previous lifetime.
Who knows?
No. All I know is that they're so real. When you're in it, you feel like it's real. When I'm living right now, I feel like this is real. What's the difference? I'm about to go to sleep and tap into a dream. Then I wake up and I tap into this reality.
You know what's interesting? There was a study on sleep and frequency.
Yeah.
Your brain has a certain frequency.
Yeah.
It's emitting a certain frequency like a radio.
Really?
Because our minds actually, you know, like our minds are like radios, they say. There's always frequency coming into our heads.
Mm.
And like...
is there frequency leaving it as well?
Yes, yeah, so we're vibrating at a certain frequency right now. And you know, you might talk to somebody and you're like, yo, I connect with you. Like, you're on the same frequency as me. You guys might even think the same things at the same times. Us being on the exact same frequency. When people actually go to sleep, their frequency change.
Mm.
Their mind's not as active and they tap into a different frequency, and being in a different frequency allows them to kind of dive into a different or see things from a different realm, call it. you know, we see things like this right now, lower that frequency or change it to a certain way, we're now, okay, we're in a parallel universe now. Something else is happening simultaneously somewhere else. And it could be right in front of us, but like, because we're asleep, because we're on a different frequency, it's actually, we're able to tap into it and see it, you know.
That's kind of what I was talking about when you have like the physical plane, the astral plane, the causal plane, supercausal plane.
Yeah.
They overlap. They're all really the same plane, just different levels of density. And once you tap into these higher frequencies, you can experience it from a higher vantage point.
Too. And yo, like, I think like that's what I want to work towards. I want to see things clearly. I want to be able to manipulate the energy and like see things from a true light point of view. And I'm sure like you're on the same path.
Yes. Because I know that's what I'm meant to do.
Exactly. We're meant to be light workers and we're meant to actually see things for how they are.
Yeah.
So this project that I'm doing, when I say like, yo, like something's not in alignment, something feels a little bit off, something is not allowing me to go 100%, it's because I'm not in alignment with my core values.
Yeah.
These core values, these, this path that I'm on,
mm-hmm.
allows me to figure out what step to take next, how to do something, how much energy do I need to put into something. But if it's not there, you're really just like flowing. You're like, okay, what's next? Okay, I guess this is coming up, we gotta go do this.
Facts. Yeah.
And you're just like flowing.
Yeah.
So yo, like back on that topic, like I think finding out steps that we can do to actively get back to our spiritual practice, to be aligned with who we are, no matter how many distractions, how many things come to our existence and like our agenda, we need to consistently work towards being the best spiritual self.
Yeah.
And like evolve slowly.